The question before us is one of the most important questions any soul can ever consider. What place does the Word of God have in our lives? If the Bible is merely a book of human thoughts, then men may choose what they like and reject what they dislike. But if the Bible is the Word of God, then it must be heard, believed, obeyed, and never altered. The Bible teaches that God's Word is true, complete, sufficient, and authoritative. The psalmist proclaimed, "The sum of thy word is true," Psalm 119:160 of the American Standard Version. Paul declared all the counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 27. He also wrote that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is able to make the man of God perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Peter wrote that God has given all things that pertain unto life and godliness in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. A simple way to think about this lesson is this: if God has spoken, man must listen. If God has revealed truth, man must not change it. If God has given all things, man must not add more. And if God's word has authority, man must submit to it. Before we can understand the authority of God's word, we must first understand its nature. God's word is not uncertain, changing, or mixed with error. The scriptures teach that the word of God is truth. Let's begin with the foundation. If the Word of God is truth, then it must be trusted above every human idea, feeling, tradition, or opinion. The sum of God's Word is truth. Psalms 119 is a psalm that repeatedly honors the Word of God. The writer does not treat God's Word as partly true or mostly true. He speaks of the whole of God's Word as truth. He said, "The word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever," Psalms 119 and verse 160. The word true means dependable, right, faithful, and without falsehood. The phrase "from the beginning" shows that God's word has always been true. The word "judgments" refers to God's righteous decisions, commands, and ordinances. This passage teaches that God's word is not temporary truth, it is truth that endures. Jesus also taught that God's word is truth when he prayed to the Father. This shows that truth is not invented by men, truth is revealed by God. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth," John 17 and verse 17. The word "sanctify" means to set apart for God's purpose. Jesus said this is done through truth, and then he identified that truth. He said, "Thy word is truth." God's word does not merely contain helpful thoughts, it is truth. Because God himself cannot lie, his word carries a certainty of his character. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, Titus 1 and verse 2. The phrase "God that cannot lie" shows the perfect reliability of God. Since God cannot lie, his word cannot lead us into falsehood. A measuring tape is useful only if it is accurate. If the markings are wrong, the whole measurement is wrong. In spiritual matters, God's word is the true standard. We do not measure God's word by man's thoughts. We measure man's thoughts by God's word. God's word is truth because God himself is true. Therefore, every teaching, belief, practice, and decision must be tested by the scriptures. Since God's word is truth, we must receive all of it. Not only the parts that are easy, familiar, or comfortable. All of God's word must be honored. Paul spoke to the elders at Ephesus and reminded them that he had not held back God's message. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God," Acts 20, verse 27. The word shun means to shrink back, avoid, or hold back. The phrase "all the counsel of God" means the whole revealed will of God. Paul did not preach only pleasant parts. He did not leave out difficult truths either. He declared all that God wanted taught. Jesus taught that man must live by every word that comes from God, not by selected portions only. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," Matthew 4 and verse 4. The phrase "every word" is important. Man does not have authority to choose which parts of God's word matter and which parts do not. Just as physical bread sustains the body, the word of God sustains the eternal soul. God's word is pure and therefore must be received as it is, not filtered through human preferences. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him, Proverbs 30 and verse 5. The word pure means tested, clean, and free from error. Since every word of God is pure, man must not treat any part of it as unimportant. If a doctor gives life-saving instructions, a patient would be unwise to follow only the parts he personally likes. In a far greater way, God has spoken for the saving and guiding of souls. We must receive the whole counsel of God. The authority of God's word requires that we honor all of it. Truth is not ours to edit. It is ours to believe and obey. God's word is truth from the beginning to end. It is true because God cannot lie. It sanctifies, guides, corrects, and it sustains the soul. And we must allow every belief and practice to be tested by Scripture. Now that we have seen that God's word is truth, we must ask another vital question. Has God given enough truth, or does man need to add more? The Scriptures teach that the word of God is complete. If God has revealed all that man needs, then no man, church, council, preacher, or tradition has the right to add another gospel or change the message God has already given. God has revealed all things pertaining to life and godliness. Peter wrote to Christians and reminded them that God has already given what man needs for spiritual life and godly living. He said, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him," that's the gospel, "that hath called us to glory and virtue," 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. The phrase "all things" means nothing necessary has been left out. Life refers to spiritual life before God. Godliness refers to reverence toward God shown in faithful living. This passage teaches that God has not left his people without instruction. He has given all things needed for life and godliness. Jude also taught that the faith was once delivered to the saints. This points to a complete body of truth delivered by God. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Jude verse 3. The phrase "the faith" refers to the gospel system of teaching revealed by God. The word "once" means once for all time, not repeatedly replaced by new doctrines or new teachings. Delivered means handed over or entrusted. Christians are not told to invent a new faith, but rather to contend for the faith already delivered. Jesus promised his apostles that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. This shows the completeness of the revelation given through the chosen messengers of Christ. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come," John 16 and verse 13. The phrase "all truth" means this was not partial or incomplete guidance. The Spirit would guide the apostles into the full truth Christ wanted revealed. If a builder receives a complete blueprint, he does not have authority to draw in new rooms according to his own imaginations. God has given the spiritual blueprint. We must build according to what he has revealed. God has given all things pertaining to life and godliness. The faith has been delivered. Therefore, man must not seek new doctrines, new gospels, or new authorities beyond the Word of God. Because God's Word is complete, the Scriptures also warn us, man must not add to or take away from the Word of God. Moses warned Israel not to add to or take away from the commandments of God. This principle shows the seriousness of respecting divine instruction. He said, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Deuteronomy 4:2. To add means to include what God did not command. To diminish means to remove or lessen what God did command. God's commands were to be kept as he gave them. The writer of Wisdom gives the same warning and connects adding to God's word with being found as a liar. He said, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar," Proverbs 30 and verse 6. To add to God's word is to speak where God has not spoken. The danger is not merely misunderstanding. The danger is misrepresenting God. Near the close of the book of Revelation, a solemn warning is given against adding to or taking away from God's words. John wrote, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book," Revelations 22, 18 and 19. This passage directly concerns the words of the prophecy of Revelation, yet harmonizes with the broader biblical principle, man must not tamper with God's revealed word. If a king writes a command and sends it by messenger, the messenger has no authority to add his own ideas or remove the king's instructions. The messenger's duty is to deliver the message faithfully, and so it is with the Word of God. God's Word must be honored as God gave it. Adding to it shows presumption. Taking away from it shows rebellion. Faithfulness requires staying with what God has spoken. God's word is complete. He has given all things pertaining to life and godliness. The faith has been delivered. The Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. Therefore, man must not add to, subtract from, or alter God's revealed word in any way. If God's word is true and complete, it is not only correct, it is enough to equip the servant of God. The word of God is sufficient. The Bible does not teach that Scripture leaves the man of God spiritually unequipped. Instead, it teaches that Scripture furnishes him for every good work. Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Paul wrote to a young Timothy, a preacher of the gospel, and showed him the source and usefulness of Scripture. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness," 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture means the whole body of sacred writings. Inspiration of God means God breathed. Scripture comes from God, not merely from men. Profitable means useful and beneficial. Paul lists four uses: doctrine, that is, teaching what is right; reproof, exposing what is wrong; correction, restoring to what is right; instruction in righteousness, training one how to live right. The next verse shows the result of Scripture's work in the servant of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16. Perfect means complete or mature. Thoroughly furnished means fully equipped. All good works means every work God approves. If Scripture equips unto all good works, then no human doctrine is needed to create a good work before God. Peter also teaches that Scripture did not originate in the will of man, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Not by the will of man means Scripture did not originate from human desire or imagination. Moved by the Holy Spirit means carried along by the Spirit of God. A toolbox is sufficient only if it contains the tools needed for the job. God's word furnishes the man of God unto every good work. If a work cannot be found authorized by Scripture, it cannot be called a good work by God's authority. Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. It teaches, reproves, corrects, and trains. It completely equips the servant of God for every good work. Since Scripture is sufficient, we must learn to depend on it. God's word gives faith, direction, and spiritual understanding. Faith does not come from human wisdom, personal feelings, or family tradition. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith is trust, conviction, and obedient belief toward God. This passage teaches that true faith is produced by the word of God. If faith comes by the word of God, then teaching that is not from God's word cannot produce biblical faith. The psalmist describes God's word as light for the path of life. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119:105. A lamp gives light for immediate steps. A light shows the path ahead. God's word shows us where to walk and what to avoid. God's word is also able to give understanding even to those who are simple and humble enough to receive it. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple, Psalms 119:130. The word simple refers to those needing instruction. God's words gives light and understanding means even a young person or a new learner can understand what God requires when the word is taught plainly. When walking in the dark, a person does not need someone to describe darkness. He needs light. God's word is that light. It shows the path clearly enough that even a young heart can understand the difference between God's way and man's way. God's word is sufficient because it comes from God and completely furnishes the man of God unto every good work. It gives faith, light, instruction, correction, and understanding. Therefore, the faithful servant must rely on Scripture, not human opinion, to know how to please God. God's word is true, complete, and sufficient. The Scriptures do not merely advise, they command, direct, and judge. The word of God is authoritative. Authority means the right to command and the right to expect obedience. The Bible teaches that Christ has all authority. After his resurrection, Jesus declared his authority before giving the apostles their commission. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28:18. The word power here carries the idea of authority. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. No human being has authority to overrule Christ. Because Jesus has authority, his word will judge men in the last day. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." John 12:48. To reject Christ includes refusing his words. Jesus teaches that his word will be the standard of judgment. This shows that the word of Christ is not optional. God now speaks to us through his Son, showing the supreme authority of Christ. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 1:1-2. Sundry times and divers manners means various times and various ways. But now God has spoken by his Son. Christ is the final and supreme spokesman of God. In a courtroom, the judge's ruling carries authority. Men have opinions, but the judgment in the last day is not going to be based on opinions. In spiritual matters, Christ is the authority and his word is the standard by which all will be judged. Because Christ has all authority, his word must be received, obeyed, and respected. If Christ has all authority, then we must not go beyond his teaching or accept another gospel. We must abide in the doctrine of Christ. John warns that one who goes beyond the teaching of Christ does not have God, This is a serious warning about respecting divine authority. He said, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." 2 John in verse 9. Transgresseth means to go onward, pass beyond, or step outside the boundary. Abideth means to remain, continue, or stay. Doctrine means teaching. This passage teaches that we must remain within the teachings of Christ. Paul warned the Galatians that no one had authority to preach another gospel, not even an apostle or an angel. He said, "But though we," that's the apostles, "or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Galatians 1, 8 and 9. The phrase "any other gospel" means a different message than the gospel already revealed. A curse means under divine condemnation. This passage shows that the message of God cannot be altered by preacher, angel, tradition, or even time. Paul also taught that Christians must act in the name of the Lord Jesus, meaning by His authority. He said, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Colossians 3:17. To do something in the name of the Lord Jesus means to do it by His authority, according to His will and for His glory. This applies to both word and deed, that is, what we teach and what we practice. If a parent says, "Stay in the yard," the child does not have permission to cross the street. The parent does not need to specifically name every forbidden place. The command gives a boundary. In the same way, the doctrine of Christ gives the boundary for both faith and practice. We must abide in the doctrine of Christ. We must not go beyond His teaching. We must not preach another gospel. Whatever we do in word or deed must be done by the authority of Christ. God's word is authoritative because Christ has all authority. His word will judge us, therefore we must abide in His doctrine, reject any other gospel, and do all things in His name. True faith does not ask, "What do I prefer?" True faith asks, "What has the Lord said?" We have now seen the great foundation of this lesson. God's word is truth. God's word is complete. God's word is sufficient. And God's word is authoritative. These truths must not remain only in our minds. They must shape our hearts, our worship, our teaching, and our obedience. Some closing thoughts. The authority of God's word is not a small subject. It affects everything. If God's word is truth, then we must believe it. If God's word is complete, then we must not add to it. If God's word is sufficient, then we must trust it to equip us. And if God's word is authoritative, then we must obey it. Psalms 119:160 teaches that God's word is true. Acts 20 and verse 27 teaches that all the counsel of God must be declared. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 teaches that the scripture is inspired and fully equips the man of God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 teaches that God has given all things pertaining to life and godliness. Therefore, the faithful heart says, "Speak, Lord, and I will listen. Command, Lord, and I will obey. Teach me your word, and I will walk in your way." Some lessons learned. God's word is the standard of truth. Man's feelings, opinions, and traditions must be tested by Scripture. God's word must be received as a whole. We must not choose only the parts we like while ignoring the rest. God's word is complete. God has already given all things pertaining to life and godliness. God's word is sufficient. Scripture fully equips the servant of God unto every good work. God's word is authoritative. Christ has all authority, and his word will judge us in the last day. Man must not add to, take away from, or go beyond God's word. Faithfulness requires staying within the doctrine of Christ. The authority of God's word must be applied personally. It is possible to believe the Bible is true and still fail to submit to it. Every soul should ask themselves, am I allowing God's word to correct me? Am I obeying only what Christ has authorized? Am I willing to give up any belief or practice that cannot be found in Scripture? Am I teaching the whole counsel of God or only what is easy to receive? James reminds us that hearing the word is not enough. God's word must be obeyed. He said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves," James 1:22. A doer is one who obeys. A hearer only listens, but does not submit. James says such a person deceives himself. The authority of God's word is truly honored when the word is believed and obeyed. And so the lesson is yours. It is the Lord who invites, and we await to assist. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?
Number 869. Let's sing all three of 869. Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your banner you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Sadly you'll stand if you're unprepared, trembling you'll fall on your knees, facing the sentence of life or a death. What will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified.